He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition, Tuesday 10-11-22 of the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide virtual fee-based money management firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our resident chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. And guess what? It's another down day in the market, which shouldn't come as too much of a surprise because that has been the predominant direction of the market now for quite some time. A down trend, a bear market. The Dow is down 103 today, 29,100. Wow, it's really getting down there. S&P 500 is breaking that 3,600 level, which is not good. It's down 40 to 35.72. The NASDAQ continues to break support levels, technical support levels. It's down 165 to 10,376. That's a 1.6% drop for the beleaguered tech stocks. Crude oil is down $1.80 on weakness in China. It's down 2%, $1.80 today. The 10-year, 3.94, here we go again in the race to 4%.
Just follow that bouncing ball.
Boy.
And you'll know where the market's going.
Woo! And Bitcoin not liking it, down 271 to 18,932. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, 23 years as a professional money manager, former analyst, writing up some research reports in my earlier years. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, who gives us a good macro outlook at the market. And it's not a good outlook right now. It's not good technically. And, of course, the sentiment remains very rough. The earnings picture is a little bit up in the air right now, or in other words, the valuation of the market, because there's a lot of question marks next to the current earnings estimates out on the street. Barry, I'm just going to paint a scenario here for you and imagine this nightmare in your mind. What happens if the CPI report comes in Thursday much hotter than expected?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, in one note is in terms of all those down numbers that you gave, that's a number four trend for all of you that are getting Bill's list on a daily basis. So, not good, but you know. It wouldn't surprise me if the CPI number comes in hot because, we went to the grocery store yesterday.
Me too.
I'm making red beans and rice, which is, not the, it doesn't have the, the highest valued ingredients in there. You put them all together, it tastes great, right? But, individually, those ingredients aren't very expensive.
No.
I spent $100. I think I walked out with two bags yesterday.
It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. I was at this grocery store myself. I couldn't believe milk.
Eggs. Yeah,
eggs.
And I think they must cap the price of milk here in South Carolina because, I keep expecting milk to go, real high. Of course, I'm looking at eggs. I think a dozen eggs were $6.
Holy cow. Where are you going? Are you getting cage-free, organic?
I'm not at Whole Foods.
At Whole Foods?
No, I'm not. I have no idea. I don't know if anyone goes there anymore. That was actually going to be my next question. I want to walk into Whole Foods and see what's going on with those prices.
And the shock on people's faces. We should film that for...
Just to say, I didn't get any eggs. So
I'll
work around it.
I mean, the vegetables are just... no lettuce. There was no lettuce. Thank goodness. I'm going to ramp up my production here. I'm a little behind on my lettuce crop.
Yeah.
But you got to keep those seeds. Yeah. You got to keep the, I lost a lot of string beans in the hurricane. You got to keep the seeds rotating and going and keep, you got to have a system, man, of keeping those, even inside. I don't care if you're in Minnesota. Get some grow lights. You can grow inside, especially the leaf crops like lettuce. Okay, well, we had a bad day again yesterday in the market, fourth consecutive session. Now, Barry, you just talked about number four downtrends. There's a lot of number two uptrends out there, and I can tell you where they're at. They're in the inverse funds.
Yes.
My trading list, I think I narrowed it down to 59 today, which is a fresh list after my 4 to 5 hour trip through the market yesterday, through the stock market before I went to the grocery market. The best looking stocks out there by far are the inverse funds, which we own a lot of. And, you know, we're actually up. We were last time I looked just a little bit today because of those inverse funds. Well, you got another big problem. Bank of England sounds a fire sale alarm as it intervenes again. What is going on with the UK bonds?
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got it's pretty interesting because last week when they first announced, hey, we're gonna begin buying and buying some bonds, and that what the point is there is to prop up prop up the pound, also prop up the price of their bonds. So then that brings, as price goes up, yield goes down. So they're trying to get some of those rates down and also help their currency, but. For like a week, it was, just announcing it was all they need. I think they only bought like $4 billion worth of bonds, right? And it made a huge difference, just the announcement.
Yeah.
Well, then I think over time, right, where it's, rhetoric is one thing, but eventually you've got to put your money where your mouth is, right? I mean, $4 billion is a lot to us, but, to a central bank, right, it's virtually nothing. So, I think they're, actually really having to go in and actually spend some money.
Yeah, their 10-year was up 64 basis points at one point yesterday, clear up to 4.40. You got to go back to 1992 to find a yield that high. Do you think it's, I think, it's the bond vigilantes ganging up on the U.K. because they don't like the leader that they elected. Doesn't go along with... ideologies.
It is. Well, I hear today, you've got, Scotland, of course, talk of them, going away from the UK again, right? They've got some kind of referendum or Supreme Court, something, whatever their version of the Supreme Court is. But, yeah, just a lot of turmoil. I mean, you've got, still trying to work through what, leaving the Eurozone. I mean, it's just a big, it's a big mess. And a lot of it from, we're kind of, if you follow the dots where they all come back to, a lot of them come back to a strong dollar.
Yes, they do come back to a strong dollar.
A lot of the world problems at the moment from a financial standpoint, right?
So. Absolutely. And and then it was, it was Soros. That's he makes no bones about it. That's where he made all of his money originally to start his big hedge fund was by raiding the Bank of England and their currency. So I think that's going on once again. UK unemployment hits a 48-year low. Okay, that's a good thing. That's 3.5%. That's the same rate that we have here. We very much, our economy very much mirrors that of the UK. But that's not good news because that means that the inflation monster is still out there. That's the lowest unemployment rate since 1974. We had a similar unemployment rate, and the market didn't like it. They want to see the market wants to see, especially the bond market, wants to see the unemployment rate going up, unfortunately. But that's how the math works right now. And so you've got continued rising interest rates worldwide. I mean, I look at the treasuries every single Friday from around the world, the big ones, Italy, France and Greece, the yeah, Club Med companies.
You put it in the newsletter each.
Yeah,
it used to be a kind of a tired chart, right? It
was, yeah, Germany was negative.
Didn't move that much, right? Didn't move that much.
No.
Now you look at it. I mean, you're getting big swings on, you know, daily and weekly basis. It's that's really, to me, what's driving a lot of the turmoil in the equity markets.
So. Exactly. So anyways, we continue to have a lot of commotion in the markets. The markets are probably not going to do much one way or another until the inflation report on Thursday. But in the meantime, you know, the market reeling again today. Oil's down $2.15. The inverse funds are exploding to the upside. Not only do we own some one-to-one inverse funds, we also have a scattering of two-to-one inverse funds in some of the most vulnerable areas of the market right now. Bonds would be one. The emerging markets would be another. Europe would be another. Tech would be another. I guess everything seems to be vulnerable right now. Okay, we'll be back. There's a lot of news, earnings news, downgrades, upgrades, new companies news. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. Right now it's the inverse funds that are ruling the day, and they've pretty much been ruling the year, and we continue to use them judiciously. Crude oil tilts lower after weak economic data from China. Well, and that's helping the emerging markets go down here today. The emerging market inverse ETF EUM is one times inverse, the MSCI Emerging Markets Index. It's breaking out today. It's breaking out to a new all-time high. Now, you can't say that about many stocks out there. I can hardly think of any. A few biotechs here and there. But we do have a position, a fairly large position in EUM. It has a relative strength of 95 on a scale of 1 to 99. This is a topsy-turvy market we're in. There's opportunities in an up market. There's opportunities in a down market. I believe EUM was on the list that I sent out today. It's up 1.54%, and a big component of EUM is China. Okay, then you've got the two times version of EUM. It's breaking out to a new all-time high today. Its relative strength is 98 on a scale of 1 to 99. There's only a few things stronger than this. EEV is one I own personally in my own play account. And then you get really crazy, and EDZ, which we own in our emerging growth portfolio, it's three times inverse the emerging market index. Boy, the volume is soaring on that thing. Six times normal volume so far today.
And you've got, yeah, they're back under COVID, you know, COVID restrictions. I saw some stories in Shanghai and are, you know, putting fences around neighborhoods. It's just, you know, it's you know, that zero COVID policy, it's, you know, I guess we're thinking it may end once, you know, once they have their big meeting. I think it's this week or so where, you know, China, the Communist Party's meeting. So maybe after that, they'll get away from the zero COVID policy. But I mean, I was watching them put fences up, around neighborhoods.
That's scary.
Unbelievable. I mean, it's like,
yeah.
It's like we just brought the jail to you, right? It's like you don't got to go to jail. We're just going to put a fence around you, and that'll be your jail.
Yeah, yeah. We complain about having to go to Walmart and pay the prices, but at least we can go to Walmart.
I know.
At least for now, we're allowed to go to Walmart till I don't know what's next, a climate emergency. I don't know. But, okay, what do you say? I just got a tweet from some. I'm reading a tweet in my column there. It says, I can't take it. I'm so tempted to get into some of these growth stocks. That comes from Benjamin. What's your answer to that?
If you do get in slowly, you know, more than one purchase is probably a good idea in terms of spreading out that entry point risk. But there's, you know, this earnings season, I know, you know, you've got a great handle on it in terms of, you know, the bar. Usually when you're doing, you know, the high jump in the Olympics, it's like, you know, the bar keeps going up. In this instance, I feel like the bar keeps coming down in terms of expectations for this quarter.
Yeah.
So who knows? We may get some earnings beats because, you know, because you and I can jump over the bar, in the high jump at this point, but, we'll see how it plays out. But earnings is really the next shoe to drop.
Yeah. Well, I can see a company that has a lot of short interest, the AMDs and the NVIDIAs, all of a sudden they come up, you know, the little beat. But you know what I recommend to Benjamin who says, I can't take it. I'm so tempted to get into some of these growth stocks. A rubber band around the wrist. That's what I do. And I pull that thing back and flap. I let myself have it. That's how you overcome that habit to reach for, you know, the corn chips or whatever it is. Okay, yeah, I just wouldn't do it. I mean, I looked at Microsoft's chart yesterday. It was awful. Apple's chart is awful. Meta's chart is horrible. I don't buy horrible charts. Some people do. Look at Kathy Woods. She buys horrible charts, but that's her game.
She sent a letter to the Fed. Did you read that?
Yeah, I saw her letter to the Fed. Yeah. I'm sure they're going to listen to her. Anyways, crude oil weakness. Consumer payments rise 10% in September as inflation persists. Well, we're spending more, but we're getting about the same amount in return. That's the problem. Total payments rose 10%. Year over year. What's inflation year over year? 9%? So it's not like we're buying more. We're buying the same, but we're spending more. Okay, Ben Bernanke to the rescue. I like Ben Bernanke myself. I felt like he was a pretty steady hand at the Fed. I feel like he had a pretty good handle.
Yeah, like the Fed or not, he saved us from the brink of financial destruction. I mean,
that's absolutely right. I mean, without him and the bailouts and the TARP funds, I don't know where we would be today. He's a controversial figure, but at the same time, he did a pretty good job. He's saying, now he was there in 08, he's saying right now, and I agree with this, it's nothing like the dire straits that we saw in 2008. Money for nothing and your loans for free was the mantra back then from the dire straits. But he says pressures from the war in Russia as well as the soaring dollar squeeze economies around the globe. That's why that play on inverse the emerging markets, I mean, that's a play on the U.S. dollar, really, strength. Bernanke earlier this week or last week won the Nobel Prize in economics.
Yeah, he did. Congratulations.
So you might want to listen to the guy. He says, even if financial problems don't begin an episode over time, if the episode makes financial condition worse, they can add to the problems and intensify it. It's something we have to pay close attention to. He is confident that the Fed will bring down inflation to their target eventually. Well, what's eventually? 6 months, 9 months, a year? We don't know. Bernanke thinks we'll see interest rates that are, again, relatively low going forward. We're at 4, almost 4 right now. The UK's at 4.4. Meanwhile, the Fed's medium projection of the terminal funds rate stood at 4.6 by the end of 2023. That's pretty high. That means there's more rates hikes coming. Now, I'll tell you who would disagree with Ben Bernanke. J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon, who probably has the best handle on the economy, the current economy, daily. That's where Jamie Dimon is. He said that current economic conditions will likely push the U.S. into a recession in the next 6 to 9 months. amid very serious headwinds like inflation, rising interest rates, quantitative tightening, and the war in Ukraine. Who are you with, Bernanke or Diamond? You know what? I think in this case, I think Diamond's got a little bit boots on the ground look.
Probably.
Wingtips on the ground look at the economy. Ground. I'm going to go with Diamond. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks, Best Inverse Funds Now show. The market has come back a little, but the NASDAQ is undercutting support. It's down 120. It's undercutting key support. Look at my newsletter over the weekend and see where the next level of support is on the NASDAQ. You'd be shocked at where the next level of support is on the NASDAQ.
Don't, maybe don't look at it.
That's
that's what you should send to the guy that to the follower that tweeted you.
Yes, I just responded to him actually. I said right here. I said you know, put a good strong rubber band around your right wrist. And flick it hard when you feel the urge to buy. Inflict pain. Maybe have someone else do it. You know, I'm sure his wife would really, or his girlfriend, wham, really let him have it. Okay, now, here's the big news of the day. At 1:07 p.m., no, it's not a Fed head speaking. It's Philadelphia Phillies at Atlanta Braves. That's a big one. That's a good game. I've been in that Atlanta stadium several times. That's a beautiful stadium.
Yeah, it is. We took the boys. We got to a game early September, Labor Day weekend. We got them. Finally, got them to their first Braves game. Very beautiful setup. I was real surprised.
Yes, if you stay at that Omni that's attached to the stadium, that's a nice deal. Now, you know, around here in the Southeast, a lot of people have adopted Atlanta as their team, even though our Charleston River Dog double-A team is, or single-A, is Tampa Bay's.
Yeah, and they used to be the Yankees before, right? I think when we first moved here, they were Yankees. Now they're the Rays. Yeah.
You're not going to find a Yankee fan in South Carolina. You know, the Confederates ruled the day. A lot of New Yorkers moving here, though. Okay, then at 3:30, we have got Seattle versus the Houston Astros. It's just surprising how good that Houston team has been, even after the big scandal and all of that.
Yeah, where it's not a surprise after what they were doing.
And then at 7:30, the Cleveland Guardians in Yankee Stadium. Pray for Cleveland. That's going to be, they've got to face Aaron Judge. And Garrett Cole on the mound. And then, of course, at 9:37 p.m. tonight, we get the late game. San Diego versus the Dodgers, and you know,
you need a nap in between there.
That's a problem. Yeah. You know, 9:37. But and the Dodger pitcher is Jose Urias, who we just have no luck against at all. We're pitching Clevinger. I like Clevinger. He looks like the like he's in a rock band. He's got the long hair. He looks like Joe Walsh in his early days. And when he throws the ball, he throws about 99. His leg goes up high. He's got a little flair. Won a Cy Young Award, so we'll see. Okay, now back to the market. Here's what else Jamie Dimon, just a few other highlights from his. He was on CNBC yesterday. He warned that the markets could become disorderly. I think they're kind of disorderly now as volatility increases. Hear that? In the face of fast-changing economic situation, as far as how long the recession would last, he says, well, that's hard to guess, but he said, be prepared. Here's what he does guarantee: volatile markets. you know, that plays into the hands of a trader. Okay, that's why I came up with something to do while you're waiting for the market to turn around. This guy that's flicking his wrist, you know, not buying Microsoft and Apple and NVIDIA for long trades here. There are lots of trading opportunities. In a volatile market, there's opportunities. And that's, you know, one of the advantages of looking at so many charts in the course of a day. He says that it's possible that you could see the markets be disorderly at some time in the not too. That would be like trading halts. I don't know. All this short interest building up is a little bit scary.
And he did mention, he also mentioned he, you know, sees the markets potentially another, 20% drop in the S&P from here?
Yes. And you have BTIG, the market sitting around 3,600. They think 3,400 later this month. That's what they say. Okay, I put in my newsletter where the next landing spot is. Now, here's the big winner of the day. You know, I didn't have this in my database. This would have shown up on the list today, but it would have been too late. The DICE Therapeutics up 62%. It had a huge breakout yesterday. I went back and looked at it, but I didn't have it in my database. It would have showed up as an A-plus momentum stock. And then it breaks out today on news of a, I think it's a psoriasis treatment. So that's the big winner, DICE. DICA rolling a 7 and an 11 today. Okay, this is one that caught my eye. Okay, I've never ordered a meal kit. Blue Apron is going, made a deal with Amazon, and they're going to sell their meal kits. You know, you can count on Amazon, but I got to believe by the time you order that, everybody's got to make a profit. It's probably a pretty expensive meal. You can go out. I don't know. But anyways.
Well, they almost, I mean, they were almost, you know. That
they're on the ropes.
They almost ceased to exist prior to COVID, and COVID saved them. Obviously, that business model was a great business model where you didn't have to go get anything. They just sent it to your door. But, you know, it's like a lot of these COVID names that blew up during, you know, that benefited from COVID, right? It's what's that, you know, what's the next thing, right? You take even like a Zoom, right? You've got to reboot, you know, you've got to leverage that product, you know, move it and find something else, right? That people like. Same thing, you know, Peloton, right? We all know what happened to them. I guess this is, you know, maybe a partnership that could potentially
maybe
keep
save
them around
their bacon
for a bit longer, right?
That's a big audience on Amazon. The Dow just went positive. It's now up by 62 points. So Jamie Dimon's volatility statement yesterday was very prescient. General Motors creates a new energy business with residential and commercial services. Well, you know, I mean, if they're going to go all electric cars, that's a good move by General Motors. They're going to offer stationary battery packs, solar panels, electric vehicle chargers, and other energy management products for both homes and businesses. My big worry is the grid. The grid. Can the grid handle it? And we know, I can report that it took, I have just a little solar generator that you can charge in a few hours by plugging it in. You know, it's what, 1200 watts? I forget how many watts it is. I'm not an electrician guy. But it took 4 days to charge that thing back up because we had cloudy days. I'm just saying, solar is not very reliable. At least in my experience, we live in a sunny state here in South Carolina, and I had a guy come out to my house and he said, you know, if we put solar panels everywhere, your walls, your everywhere on my home, I'd get about a third of what I need. So I'm just telling you, I see a city up north of us, is it Georgetown? They want to put in a big solar farm, and the people don't want any part of that. Up in Georgetown. BlackRock cut to neutral at UBS on ESG pressure. I was reading that a lot of the Republican states, which is about half, Republican governors are divesting. BlackRock has lost about $1 billion in outflows because of their ESG investing policies. That's environmental, social, What's the
governance?
Governance. Okay. Where they force company, they won't invest in your company unless you follow their rules. And, that's hurting them. Then I see Joby, I don't know, a flying taxi service, but American Airlines investing, quite a bit of money in them. They're investing $60 million and they're going to partner with Delta. I guess I don't know how that's going to work, but maybe getting you to the airport or whatnot. So Joby Aviation is one of the stocks that's up today, J-O-B-Y. Canoe gets an EV purchase. Those are delivery vehicles. They can order your, they can deliver your Blue Apron meal kit from Amazon.
My old favorite. That's the one I love. The Canoe. I love that one, but don't look at the chart. That's, it was, well, I just like, I love the concept.
It's, the canoes came in handy during the hurricane in Fort Myers, but I don't know if there were any canoe EVs out there. But
I just like they started out as a, they started out as an electric skateboard company, and they're like, hey, let's just make the board bigger, right? And we'll put a module on top of it, and now you have a car. So.
Yeah, I saw a kid going down the street. He leaned one way, and he was. Have you seen those?
Yeah, I have. Yeah,
you know, you don't even have to get exercise. You can just your skateboard. But you know, if you hit a rock or something. Well, let's see. Okay, when we come back, we'll see what is jumping today. I got a hunch it's inverse funds, but the Dow's up 70, so there must be something working. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show, with S&P down 22, Dow up 51, NASDAQ down 108. There are three stocks leading the Dow. They're all in horrible downtrends. Walgreens Boots Alliance is up 3%. It's a member of the Dow. But that's a lousy trend on that stock. Walmart is up 2%. It's in a sideways trend right now. I was reading an article somewhere that if they were to break out their Walmart Plus business, just break that out and do an IPO, that it's worth more than all these companies combined. I can't remember the list of companies they listed. But that's probably why that stock's up. Then Johnson & Johnson's up 1.2%. That's a terrible chart. And McDonald's is up 1%. And that's a chart that maybe is putting in a bottom, maybe. But the big winners today, we already mentioned Dice, which is up 61%. That's the big winner of the day with the psoriasis drug. And I'm guessing that maybe Amgen has a piece of that. Let me just check real quickly, because Amgen, which is, I thought Amgen's in the Dow. Yeah, I think Amgen's in the Dow. I got to update my Dow list. Amgen's up 7.2% today. I'm not sure why Amgen. I'm thinking there's probably a link to that Dice Pharmaceuticals. But Amgen, member of the Dow, that's really the one that's leading the Dow here today. And then you get into the inverse ETFs. You know, before it's all over, there's not that many inverse ETFs. There's less than 100. You're going to know them all before, you know, we get through this. It looks like Webbs is up 7.2% today. I own a little bit of that personally. That is three times inverse the internet stocks. So that's, oh, look at that chart on Webbs. That's a beautiful chart. That's, is that on my list today? Let's just make sure here, see if it's on the list for today. That is a gorgeous chart today. I do own it. Webbs is not there. How did I miss Webbs? Well, it didn't look that good yesterday. Today it looks really good because it's breaking through its resistance level, it has a relative strength of 99. This is one of the strongest charts in the entire market. Inverse the internet three times. Maybe Jamie Dimon owns some too. Sox, we've mentioned that one before. There's no Sox in the playoffs today. I can't remember the last time the Red Sox weren't in the playoffs. The Direction Semiconductor Bear 3X. Man, the chip stocks just continue to get clobbered.
Taiwan Semi, yes. Have you seen Taiwan Semi? Wow, I mean, they were down like 6% and after hours, or not after hours. Obviously trades.
It's down 6.6 right now. Yeah. And I was looking at some others like Intel is hitting a new. When's the last time Intel was at $24.98? You got to go back 6 or 7 years. And it's still falling. AMD, another 52-week low today. It's at 56.84. The forward PE, if you can believe it, is 14 right now. 14 on the forward PE. Now, that would probably be one of the first growth stocks I would look at. But, how much more downside risk is there here? Still, from a technical point of view, NVIDIA is hitting a new 52-week low. It's down to 114.
And what's the forward PE on that one? I'm waiting for your rubber band slap in the background.
26, 27,
yeah,
28.
A little rich.
Yeah. That's still a little rich. I don't even need a rubber band. Just looking at the forward PE is enough for me. You've got Fanged, which Fanged is very similar to Webb's. Because Fanged inverses the Fang index. I don't actually know how many stocks are in the Fang. Maybe there's more than just those four. Look at the breakout on Fanged today. It's up 7 points. That's a fresh breakout. And I do believe that one's on the list. Yep, it's on the list. I wrote yes. I narrowed down 6,000 and hey. They're showing Mount Pleasant, South Carolina on the Fox Business Channel today. What are the odds of that?
Well, yeah, what did we do?
That's what we look like. Yeah. There we are. That's me way there in the background. No, they showed the bridge, the Ravenel Bridge, and they showed the aircraft carrier, the Tycon.
They should show all the ships that are in the harbor at the moment. So.
Yeah, and that's me there fishing in my boat while I'm doing the show. I wish. Okay, now, Fanged is on the list today. I narrowed 6,057 down to 59 for you today. I eliminated 5,998 of the stocks that you can eliminate and gave you the GPS coordinates on 59 potential fishing stocks. You don't even have to stop and fish them. It's all you got to do is look at a chart. And if you like what you see and if it's following through, that's a potential trade opportunity. There's only 59. One of them was Fanged, up 7.5% today. Yang is three times inverse China. Wow, breaking out. It's up 7.7%. We talked about China's issues. That's on the list today. Yang. Number 59 is Yang, and the comments there say strong breakout. Okay, you want to look at a strong breakout. That's momentum. I can't tell you, momentum applies, I only got 30 seconds, but baseball, once a team gets football, momentum is very important. Once a team gets momentum, it's hard for the other team to get it back. Because momentum has a tendency to continue. Whereas a losing streak, like we're in the market, it has a tendency. It takes a lot to turn that sentiment, the momentum that's going for these inverse funds right now, and to get the momentum back in the market and the confidence and the faith. But, look, a few big days and people get excited. We'll see. Anyways, that's what's working today. You can give us a call. We're active, not passive. I think you can tell that. GundersonCapital.com. Get the newsletter, the daily trading list. Go to our website or call us at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.